Did you see where The Rock is going to make another video game movie?
It's not going to be as good as John Cena's. I know that.
Though he won't say what video game it is.
I just want him to like only make Jumanji movies.
The time is now for The Rock to do Tetris.
What? Okay, but how?
I want The Rock to do Tetris.
But okay, how does that work as a film though? Like that's my. Just curious. I mean, somebody could come up with something, I'm sure, to make Tetris.
I feel like it has to be another one from the Atari collection.
Unless it's just a man packing a trunk of a car for a long vacation.
Jumping on gators? Froggers?
Yeah. One of our listeners suggested an old Nintendo classic, The Adventures of Bayou Billy. That's a deep cut. Some people might remember that one. That's a very deep cut. I think he needs to be Kirby. Just make him one big, he's just one big gigantic pink ball.
Interesting.
That just takes on the form of whatever he wants.
Right.
That'd be great. Crossover event with Chris Pratt, who's going to be Mario.
I was going to say, well, why are we excluding Mario and Luigi?
Well, because we're already getting a Mario and Luigi movie.
We are.
Chris Pratt is the voice.
Oh,
Pratt
that's right. I forgot about that Mario. Stupid movie.
Is it a cartoon?
Oh, God. Yes, they're still doing that?
Yeah, they're still doing it.
I thought we canceled it.
No.
Oh. Okay.
We don't need to cancel Chris Pratt, do we?
No. Chris, it's just one of those things where you can let somebody else, like, let somebody else eat. You know?
Oh, Chris Pratt, I see what you're
Chris
saying.
Chris Pratt's plate is full, man.
I got you now. I hear you now.
His plate is full.
I was worried he made some problematic decisions somewhere.
No.
Okay,
but if Chris Pratt says it's a me, a Mario, I'm gonna lose it. I'm gonna lose it.
He has to say that. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not wrong. He
so, so Duke is in action tonight.
Yes,
taking on Clemson, yeah. And got the email today that Duke extends their food and beverage service suspension. So for basketball home games, no concessions will be available and food and beverage options will continue to be suspended in hospitality areas.
Guys.
This is consistent with the university's current protocols to reduce the risk of COVID transmission during the current surge of the Omicron variant.
It is not, and that is fine. It's fine. Well, we know why they're doing it. Why are they doing it? If this were last year, Duke, and Coach K were not retiring, I do not think that they would even still have people attending games right now.
You think so?
No, I don't think so. No. And see, so instead, this is the way they meet in the middle somehow to make everybody feel okay about it. And now everyone's doing it. And this just is not going to work, folks. We have to be able to have some water.
I thought, I actually thought that COVID transmission stops when you're eating. Like it knows. Like COVID's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go. Oh, wait. Oh, you're eating? Don't worry about it.
By the way, I'm actually cool if you want to say like no food. Okay. Yeah. But you should still at least be able to sell water. It is hot in there. So I'm just saying.
I went to the state Duke game, which was the first of the no concessions. Mm-hmm. And when I left, I had a Spindrift can in my car, and I don't know how old it was. It was already open, but there was like half. It was like a half a can left because I'm Pigpen from Peanuts. Man, that was the greatest thing ever. I don't care how old that Spindrift was. It was flat.
You rummaged the greatest thing ever.
No, dude, I had an old like bottom of a Coke Zero in my car when I got in for the first game of this, and I just pounded it. And then I had three huge glasses of water the second I got. I was just like, this is, no, I can't do this.
No, I mean, I understand what they're doing because they're trying to remain consistent with the, with what the university policy is.
It's not.
It's not.
Well, let's be real. It's not. Are they not even having class?
But
come on.
Right. And that's where all of this kind of cracks me up. And this will be my last point on this. Because I've seen this lament of like, well, when can we go back to normal? I mean, y'all watching the same sporting events we're watching?
Right. That's what's so weird. It's like this weird disconnect where everybody's like, well, it's too late now. And that's like, it's whatever, right? People have accepted the risk. I mean, people are going to do what they're going to do. So it is what it is. And it's not, you know, I haven't heard at least about, I'm sure that there have been cases caught at games, but you don't hear that much about like this outbreak started at X game, you know, and whatever. So I don't know.
Do tell, Joe.
What?
I know what he's getting at.
What? What am I getting at?
Like,
if we had to bet on where we think you got COVID.
Right.
Oh, well. Like
if we had to wager.
If you had to wager where, if I had to wager where I got it?
Yeah.
Based on the timeline?
Yes. Based on the only time you were somewhere with people spitting on you for two consecutive hours.
That wasn't my first Duke game.
Okay.
I'm just saying. So, hell, I was convinced I had it when the whole thing started because we were at so many sporting events before that. But that's another story altogether. So, yeah. We want to go back to normal. We're back to normal. Everybody's at the building. Everybody's having a good old time.
Everyone's in the building at Duke. Man, the attendance at Carolina last night looked a lot like a state game.
I mean, are you surprised?
No, I mean, I understand why people choose to go.
And that's not, let's not act like that building was packed out night in, night out for Roy Williams,
too. It was fuller, but yeah. I mean,
I remember going to some 7 o'clock games against nondescript ACC opponents that were a struggle to fill out. So I'm not going to try to make what the crowd looked like.
I think like with
Smith Center as a referendum.
Right. When it's an ACC game, I guess there's some understandable like hand wringing of like, well, wait, they can't even. But it was a rescheduled game. It's like 8 o'clock on a Monday. It's not a team that many people care about.
You probably would have gotten the same crowd.
Also, they just lost by 50 in their last two games. Like, what do you want from people? Maybe a little show me before they're coming back in there and you know, getting home at midnight on a weeknight. Just saying.
And I think that's the other thing about the win last night for North Carolina. If you wanted to add a wrinkle to what they were able to do against the Hokies last night, is that they were able to overcome not just an overall poor shooting night, but they were able to overcome what a 5 to 6 minute scoring drought straight up in the second half, where Virginia Tech slowly tried to erase the lead, but couldn't quite get over either. I'm not trying to give North Carolina a lot of defensive credit for what we saw last night, because going forward, you have to see them be able to do that, A, on the road, B, against a good team. And that's the problem with Virginia Tech. They're just, you know, record-wise, they're just not a good team. They'll have another opportunity to play a not-so-great team on Wednesday, and then they welcome State on Saturday. And I think the State game...
Boston College is terrible, so...
Boston College is not very good. Even though Louisville might actually be the worst team in the ACC now, but that's another conversation altogether for different reasons.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking ahead already to Saturday, because this is where, you know, what's the old immovable object and irresistible force, right?
Yeah.
Theoretically.
I know what you're going to say.
Theoretically, North Carolina is a better team than NC State, like roster-wise. But the one thing that State does that North Carolina can't consistently do is give a damn. And I'm going to be really curious to see how NC State approaches this one on the road Saturday. And we know how streaky they can be. We saw them on Saturday against Virginia where they couldn't miss.
I was actually going with the whole storyline of no matter what State looks like in the course of a season, generally speaking, I feel like a lot of times they come out against Carolina and they don't look quite like themselves. You know, so is that what we see on Saturday? Do they come out and have another one of those types of performances in Chapel Hill that's kind of lackluster? Does Carolina like blow them out? I mean, I don't know. Based on what I've seen this year, I would say no, but we've certainly seen it in the past. But Roy's not on the other sideline, so who knows? Maybe it was the Roy effect. We don't know. Guess we're about to find out.
What's your read on that Saturday, Jillian?
Yeah.
I'm with Lauren. I think...
Yeah, you made a face when I said they don't look like themselves. I was trying to be nice.
Yeah, I mean, there was this.
Sometimes in a good way, every now and then. Like that Mark Gottfried game where they played like
the four corners. Yeah.
And won. Like that was out of nowhere, you know, and sometimes they come in and shoot lights out. But like more often than not, they come in, especially to the Smith Center, and look like garbage.
Yeah.
This is a get right week for Carolina. I expect them to go 3-0, but it doesn't matter because these games. They're empty calories. They're actually appendix games for Carolina, right? Like, there's no true value to them, but they could actually explode and kill them. They took care of one. Then they get Boston College, and then they play State. But again, none of these are Q1 games for Carolina. These aren't the droids Carolina needs. They need Virginia Tech. They need Clemson on the road. They need the two Duke games.
But you know what? This four-game stretch, which ends with that Louisville, I mean...
Louisville's not good.
I know.
It's not going to help them.
No, I know.
Last night didn't help.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, like, the team we saw last week was in no position to go challenge Duke in any meaningful way when they play the first time, even at home, right?
Yeah. I got bad news for you. They're not going to be...
They're probably not either, but we don't talk about
this, and Randolph Childress gave the game away last night on the broadcast. Brady Manick's awful on defense.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He's terrible. He just is. He's terrible on defense. I'm sorry to be the one who says it.
He's a stretch, and he acts like every time he's defending a big that can shoot, like he's never seen it before.
So does he guard Paolo Banchero, or does he guard Mark Williams?
Oh, boy.
Tell me how that goes.
And that's the problem for Carolina,
Tell me how that goes.
They have to play him, but he is just awful defensively.
Okay.
Yeah, he's awful defensively. No, I hear you. Believe me, I know.
Yeah.
But speaking of people who play differently against other opponents, like Caleb Love always goes off against
Duke.
He does.
Right? He plays great against Duke.
If he drops 20-some and Bacot plays well, who knows what happens.
And it's good that the first one is there in Chapel
Hill. What they need, though...
Because they'll play better there.
And Hubert alluded to this last night in postgame. Like, he's tried being tough on him. He tried loving him up a little bit.
Sure.
And he went with the Love approach, and it paid off for them. Because he's like, if I kick them more, they've already been kicked. You know, like, if I kick them more, it's not going to help. Maybe they're able to build up some confidence into something, because they sure weren't building up anything resembling confidence, you know, before.
If this were earlier in January, I would see, like, okay, let's see where it goes. But at this point, they kind of are who they are.
Oh, I'm not debating that. I'm just saying, like, are we going to see an entertaining game when they play Duke, or are we not? And to me, you know, that's all they can get out of this stretch is having guys get confidence.
Indications are that we will not get an entertaining game, because when Carolina has played more talented teams, they get smacked in the face, and then they don't know what to do.
Right. They don't respond well to adversity against even decent teams, which that was the one good thing they did last night. But, you know.
And what have we seen at a Duke? What have we seen at a Duke this year where when they want to make a statement, they want to go full Indiana Jones, rip your heart out and show it to you while it bursts into flames. I mean, we saw it in the second half against Wake Forest where they were just yamming on them. We saw it against NC State where they tried to demoralize the Wolfpack at Cameron Indoor Stadium. But NC State managed to claw their way back into that game, make it within single digits. But they were making statements in those situations. One thing about North Carolina is that when it's happened to them, like what we saw at Miami or what we saw at Wake Forest, they just go inside. And it gets away from them. So I can see that happening in both matchups against the Blue Devils.
Yeah, I could see it happening too. The weird thing about Duke is it's been those middle tier teams almost that they've had more trouble with. I mean, they demolished Wake, at least in KenPom, you know. But they have wins against 1-6 in KenPom and 40, and they have losses to 62 and 55 and 26. Like, I don't know, you know. So it's not like they're not capable if they're not hitting shots of losing a game, but... Yeah, obviously with what we've seen, Duke's the better team. So,
one quick note before we get out of here. Nick Coffey, who covers Louisville for 790, he goes by the Card Connect on Twitter, tweeted out that Louisville called a joint meeting for tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Board of Trustees and the Athletic Association. The meeting will address, quote, pending litigation and personnel matters. Also, the Chris Mack Coaches Show scheduled for tonight has been canceled.
That's the one that caught my eye.
That's the one that should get your attention.
At least they're not going to fire him like during the Coaches Show, which I know has happened.
That's happened before.
No, folks.
Literally.
This literally happened.
Lauren is not joking. This happened when they got rid of Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
Which time? I can't remember. Anyway.
The second time.
Yeah. The second time.
Yeah.
It's the OG alongside Lauren Brownlow and Joe Giglio. I am Joe Ovies. We'll check in with Chris Lee in the WREL-TV5 newsroom. And speaking of North Carolina and their NCAA tournament hopes and what this week is all about, we'll talk to another Joe Lunardi, ESPN. He is in the thick of it right now with his updated brackets. And I will admit, I was surprised by the amount of teams he has from
the
ACC. The
ACC thing, I did tell y'all. I told y'all about that. Like,
I always thought the whole one bit ACC was just
that's not going to happen.
Look at me, pay attention to me, give me the attention, right?
Five did seem like more than I thought.
But I thought, you know what? Three, four, okay, cool.
I was going,
five.
I was like, whoa. And then Virginia Tech was in like the next four out.